just beat them up. It's one of them fighting kind, you know? Beat you up and take your clothes from you. Strip them off right now. Take them off. All of them. Okay, okay. The first streakers wasn't in the 1970s. Streaking took place in the Bible. Because they left the house wounded and naked. They running from that house naked. Oh, yes, we call them the streak. Look at that, look at that. There they go. Fastest thing on 2 feet. Y'all remember that song from the 70s? Some of them young people don't remember that, but everybody was on the streak back there in the 70s. Made a song about it. But you see, they wasn't carrying the honor of that name. They're trying to live off Paul's revelation, and it wasn't working. The devil didn't recognize the authority and say, you don't know Jesus. You know who Paul is, but you're not carrying no honor. You don't know the man. And I can look at you and tell you ain't got no glory in you. Now, Paul could have walked in there and say, I command you to come out, and he'd say, where you want me to go? Which exit do you want me to take? You know, when Jesus come up and say, come out, they say, do we have to leave the country? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. This happened in the Bible. Yeah. Jesus, please don't send us out of the country. They know they gone. Yeah. The man done showed up. Yeah. He is the man. Yeah. He got authority. Did you come here to torment us before the time? You ain't supposed to be here right now. It ain't your time, Jesus, to be messing with us. Wow. Jesus said, come out. Yes. Okay, where you want us to go? Can we go in them pigs? Wow. Yeah, that's right. They know they're coming out. Yeah. See the difference in authority? See the difference in the understanding that when you know who you are and you know what God has given you, the impact is different in the realm of the spirit when you know what you're talking about. When you know that God's given you the authority to deal with principalities and powers and sickness and disease or whatever other situation going on that you can use that name, I'm going to tell you, when you have the proper respect and you carry the honor of that name, I'm going to tell you, stuff going to happen. God's going to move because that name, listen, you can't have faith in that name and something not happen. How can that be? How can that be possible for you to have faith in the name and know nothing happen?
That's right.
When God honors his word, he honors his name, he's looking for faith, how he not going to do nothing? How could he stand by, you got faith in that name, and he say, I ain't moving right now? No, he's moving. In fact, he the one nudging you. He nudged you to use the name. Listen, I stepped on CC's foot one time. I know I broke her foot. She couldn't walk. She couldn't put no pressure on it. I was getting ready to take her to the emergency room. I said, I know I broke your foot. She was crying in tremendous pain. And then the Holy Spirit said, you haven't prayed? So I said, CC, sit back down here in the couch. Let me pray. And I grabbed that foot. And I put this hand under the bottom and this hand over the top. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, put these broken bones back together again. Heal what's been damaged. Let there be no swelling. I asked for it in Jesus' name. And then I felt this in my hand. So when I finished praying, I said, CeCe, was you wiggling your toes when I was praying for you? She said, no, I can't move. I couldn't move nothing. I said, well, the Lord just put the bones back together again. I felt them when they rearranged in my hand. I said, get up. You can stand up on that now. I said, go ahead, put some weight down on it. She got up and she said, oh, it's all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all right. Wow. All the pain was gone. I said, and it ain't going to swell up either.
listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Well, if you'll get on your feet and open up your Bibles, turn them to the book of Romans, chapter 10. And we're going to start at Romans 10, verse 1 through 4. And then we'll move to verse 8 through 11. All right. And as we're turning there, I want to remind you that I'm preaching today from our series, Working with Your Faith. And remember, this series is designed to help build, develop, exercise, mature, and strengthen your faith. So it doesn't really matter where you are on the faith ladder. This series is designed to be a blessing to you because it's going to take you from one good degree to the next. And certainly we are hopeful that you would be attentive to what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us in the Word. All right, Rita, if you don't mind.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for the righteousness to everyone that believeth. Jumping down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, one of the things that I want us to understand as we begin this study today is that Paul's desire, more than anything else, was that the chosen people of God would be saved. That sounds strange, that he would be praying that God would save Israel, the people of God's own choice. But Paul recognized that these were people who did not fully comprehend, grasp, or accept the person and the power of Jesus Christ and the mission that God sent him on to save mankind, to bring the people of God first back to him, to restore them and put them in a right relationship with the Father. And so Paul is making a passionate plea and sharing with the brethren so that they would know his heart and join him in prayer when he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Might be saved. Now, one of the things, again, that you must recognize is that these are people of God. They have a knowledge of God. They have, in the next verse, it reveals a zeal for God. For verse 2 says, "For I bear them record," that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, what's interesting about this is Paul is saying, I realize that they have a desire to want to please God, but they don't understand that in order to please God, you've got to do it God's way. They have a passion, they have a zeal, they have a fervor, they have vigor, vim, and vitality about religious things. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." You know, and that's the difference between religious and righteous. Because there are some people who come to church religiously. There are some folk who are committed to their church religiously, but it is not in the righteousness of faith that they are committed. It is not unto Jesus. It is not unto the things of God. It is according to man's customs and man's traditions that they function in their dedication. And God truly does not get the glory just because they are people who love the church without the church being on the inside of them as Christ desired it. So listen to what he says in verse 3. "But they are ignorant of the righteousness of God." They are ignorant of the righteousness of God and gone about to establish their own righteousness. And because they've done that, they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Here it is. They have built themselves up in being religious men rather than true holy men, that they have set a custom and standard and tradition by which they would try to become righteous under the law, and that law was never ever designed to save them. It was designed to keep them living a righteous moral life. And so when they use the law that no man could truly live up to, they could never live the honest edicts of the law. They could never honestly meet the standard of the law, but yet they thought their works would bring them to that place of justification, and their works could not justify them. And see, they got to the point where they thought, like a lot of folk, if they just do a certain religious thing, if they continue to chant certain religious phrases, if they do things that sound religious, and though they may be committed because it may be a word from the Lord that they're using, but again, it's not based on faith in Jesus Christ, then that is not going to save them. That is not going to make them righteous. Their righteousness is of the law and not of faith. And so when you move then to the fact that verse 4 talks about, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So what does this mean? It means that even though they tried to work out their salvation under the law, which could never save them, ever. It could condemn them, but it couldn't save them. If their attention, if their loyalty, if their commitment was to the law, then in sin would they lift their eyes in hell, because it's the law and the law of righteousness and not the law of faith or the righteousness of faith. So then verse 4 makes it clear. For Christ is the end of the law. Now, what does that mean? It means this. Since no man save Jesus Christ was ever able to live up to 100% of the law, to keep it in every letter of the law, since Jesus was the only one who could do it, then the law ended or was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And because Jesus was the only one, since the law came into being, that was ever able to fulfill every jot and tittle of that law, the law ended in Jesus. When it ended in Jesus, Jesus instituted grace by faith. So he said this, listen, since I have completed the law, since I was the only man who was able to keep every letter of the law, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fulfill this issue of the law, because can't nobody do right by this law. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to complete it, and then I'm going to introduce something that they can live with, something that they can have as a benefit of life, and it's called grace. But this grace, listen, is extended to them by faith, and the faith that they must have must not be in the law, but in me. And so when you recognize that what he's saying to them is that since Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it, it is the believing mechanism that activates their faith in Jesus Christ, which means then that they are showered with the grace that covers them as a result of Jesus's work. So that means then we get the benefit, listen, of being righteous, not because we're righteous, but because we have accepted the righteous one. And it's like being in his entourage. There are some places we can't get in, but if we're with Jesus, and Jesus goes in and he says, they're with me, then all of us get to go in, not because we're right, not because we're holy, not because we're all of that, but because we had sense enough to follow Jesus. Verses 5, 6, and 7, they talk about Moses telling them that the law was something that they had to work for, and that, you know, he asks the questions that they say in their heart. Who can go up to heaven and bring Jesus down? Or who can go down in the deep and raise him up from the dead? Can't nobody do that but God. but God. So, in other words, what it's making very clear is that no works, nothing man could do, could bring him into the favor of God and into the righteousness of God through his works. So 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now listen at this, my brothers and sisters, because it's so important to recognize that the word that we preach is a word of faith. Well, the first reason it's a word of faith, because wasn't not one of us there when Jesus was hung on the cross, when Jesus died for our sins, when they took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb, when he stayed there 3 days and three nights, and then early that Sunday morning, God, we ain't see him get up because we didn't even see him go down. So how do we believe this? By faith. By faith. It's the complete work of Calvary through Jesus Christ that gives us this grace, and by faith we believe God. We believe God. Now listen at how he brings this into a clearer understanding of that. Because when he goes on, he says in the 9th verse that if we confess with our mouth the Lord, listen, Jesus, not anybody else, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and listen, believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now somebody might think, well, how can this happen? This doesn't make sense. Is that easy? Is that simple? No works? No. It's a gift of God, John 3:16 says. And if you got to work for a gift, it ain't a gift. I wish I had a helper in the house. Yeah, it's a gift, so it's free to you. It costs God and Jesus everything, but it's free to the recipient. So when you begin to recognize that, listen, all that we have to do is make sure we understand the principles of faith. Now, all of this is important because when we understand what Jesus did at Calvary, that sets us apart from the Jews who believe that their righteousness came through their works. And the grace that we are under through faith helps us to know that everything that we are, everything that we will have, everything that we are blessed with is because of Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. And so if we take anything away from Jesus and try to make ourselves look like we're the ones who did it, then the grace is frustrated. Because what you're trying to say is, we did it together. No, he did it for us. All we did was accept it. Believe that what he did for us, because we could not do it for ourselves. And so that removes the self belief that we are all of that. Because one of the things that's clear is that we must know that what Jesus did, he did because he loved the Father and he loved us. And he paid a price that we could not pay ourselves. Now, moving on, because what I want you to really see, if you jump to verse 17, it says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if you go back to verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in our mouths and in our hearts. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, let me tie these two in together, because I don't have a lot of time to deal with all of the verses. But I want you to understand how faith is built in you. It is a building process. Romans 12 and 3 tells us that God has given every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Now, let me just say this. Every man is born with faith, but he's not joined to faith. See, a lot of folk don't understand that. If God has given to every man the measure of faith, then that means God has given every man grace. Grace. The measure of grace is to accomplish the things that God wants him or her to accomplish. Now listen at this, because when you talk about building your faith, developing your faith, exercising your faith, maturing your faith, and strengthening your faith, it's going to have to come through the word of faith. Don't think that your faith can be strengthened without the word. It's the word, listen, that feeds your faith, which means you have to be attentive to the word. That's why the devil does not want you to hear the word and receive the word and believe the word and prosper from the word, because it is the word that's going to strengthen your faith and build your faith up. Listen, how many times have you been down and you heard a word and it encouraged you and lift you up? How many times have you been sad and you heard a word and it brought joy to your heart? How many times, listen, when you begin to realize that the word of faith must go forth to include what God has said to the people of God through Jesus Christ, then it is everything that Jesus has done for us by way of Calvary that gives us the privilege to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. When we talk about the complete works of Calvary, what are we talking about? Because salvation is more than being saved. From the cross, Jesus paid our debt, penalty, sin debt. The penalty that we were under, Jesus paid it on the cross. On the cross, Jesus provided for our sickness healing. On the cross. If you're depressed and if you're bound, Jesus brought to us the ability to be saved and delivered because of what he did on the cross. Every financial need we have, every frustration we have in this life, Jesus paid it all. Everything that we have need of, we must believe that Jesus paid for it on Calvary's cross. And that's why the cross is so necessary to be a part of our everyday life, because it's not just about being saved. That was the first part of it, but you've got so much more life after that. And that's why every day we should look to Christ and his cross. And the more word we hear about Jesus and what Jesus can do because of what Jesus has done, our faith is increased. Our faith is developed. And listen at this. If we say that we love him, if we say that we know him, then it is all based upon our